Can you think of any modern atheists who reject materialism while remaining atheists, and why is that?
I cannot think of any off the bat. I can't think of any off the bat. It seems like the two really go together.
Anything else to say on materialism before we move to the next one?
So the title of this video kind of sums it up. I'm just sick of hearing atheism conflated with things other than atheism, whether it be nihilism or free will skepticism or physicalism. True, a lot of atheists are materialists. But then again, a lot of theists believe in a triune God. Others believe the Earth is only a few thousand years old. But you can be a theist and reject young Earth creationism, no matter how popular it is. And likewise, you can be an atheist who rejects nihilism, materialism, and so on. But if atheists were consistent, they'll adopt materialism. Why? Explain why exactly. How does God does not exist entail everything is material, or however you want to define materialism? What is the inconsistency between property dualism and atheism, or panpsychism and atheism? Spell it out for me, please. I'll wait. Physicalism does not entail atheism, and atheism does not entail physicalism. Whatever the relationship between atheism and materialism is, they obviously need to be distinguished and not treated as if they come as a package. They certainly aren't interchangeable concepts. Say you somehow learned for a fact that there is no God. What would that fact tell you about phenomenal consciousness? How exactly does the non-existence of God bear on the issue, for example, of Frank Jackson's knowledge argument? Are you now committed to the ability hypothesis because God doesn't exist? Or does God's non-existence instead commit you to the phenomenal concept strategy? It's just nonsense. And for what it's worth, some theists are materialists, like Peter Van Inwagen. And there's a minority of theists who actually conceive of God as physical, although they might have an unorthodox conception of the physical. For example, Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, was some kind of materialist. So was Orson Pratt, the first philosopher within the Latter-day Saint tradition. And of course, many atheists are non-physicalists. Two of the leading contemporary atheist philosophers are not materialists. Paul Draper and J.L. Schellenberg. Draper's work on the problem of evil is unparalleled, and Schellenberg's pioneering work on the hiddenness argument is groundbreaking. You cannot talk about contemporary philosophy of religion without mentioning these two leading atheist figures, neither of whom are materialists. Historically, many famous atheists have rejected materialism, like Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, and Bertrand Russell. And in the modern public sphere, the new atheists don't all share the same opinion either. Dennett was a materialist. Sam Harris is not. So let's turn to philosophy of mind. Who are the leading figures in analytic philosophy of mind? Well, David Chalmers comes to mind. He coined the phrase, the hard problem of consciousness, and he's argued against materialism his whole career. He is an atheist. Thomas Nagel is another highly influential figure, also an atheist. He popularized the definition of consciousness as what it's like for a subject in his famous paper, What is it like to be a bat? We're all using Nagel's definition. Noam Chomsky, another atheist with influential critiques of physicalism. Noam Chomsky is one of the most cited scholars in modern history. This is not exactly a deep cut. It would be very difficult to read contemporary philosophy of mind for very long without coming across Nagel and Chalmers in particular. They are leading the charge of anti-physicalism, and they are atheists. Let me read a passage from David Chalmers' book, The Conscious Mind. And as I'm describing this line of reasoning, try to imagine how atheism is supposed to inform our views about any of the steps in the argument. Chapter 3, Can Consciousness Be Reductively Explained? Almost everything in the world can be explained in physical terms. It's natural to hope that consciousness might be explained this way too. However, I will argue that consciousness escapes the net of reductive explanation. No explanation given wholly in physical terms can ever account for the emergence of conscious experience. To make the case against reductive explanation, we need to show that consciousness is not logically supervenient on the physical. That is, all the microphysical facts in the world do not entail the facts about consciousness. How can we argue that consciousness is not logically supervenient on the physical? There are various ways. We can think about what is conceivable in order to argue directly for the logical possibility of a situation in which the physical facts are the same, but the facts about experience are different. The inverted spectrum. Even in making a conceivability argument against logical supervenience, it is not strictly necessary to establish the logical possibility of zombies or a zombie world. It suffices to establish the logical possibility of a world physically identical to ours, in which the facts about conscious experience are merely different from the facts in our world, without conscious experience being absent entirely. As long as some positive fact about experience in our world does not hold in a physically identical world, then consciousness does not logically supervene. It's therefore enough to note that one can coherently imagine a physically identical world in which conscious experiences are inverted, or, at the local level, imagine a being physically identical to me but with inverted conscious experiences. One might imagine, for example, that where I have a red experience, my inverted twin has a blue experience, and vice versa. Of course, he will call his blue experiences red, but that's irrelevant. What matters is that the experience he has of the things we both call red, blood, fire engines, and so on, is of the same kind as the experience I have of the things we both call blue, such as the sea and the sky. The rest of his color experiences are systematically inverted with respect to mine, in order that they cohere with the red-blue inversion. To achieve such an inversion in the actual world, presumably we would need to rewire neural processes, but as a logical possibility, it seems entirely coherent that experiences could be inverted while physical structure is duplicated exactly. Nothing in the neurophysiology dictates that one sort of processing should be accompanied by red experiences rather than by yellow experiences. End quote. Okay, so what does any of that have to do with atheism? What does any of that have to do with God's existence? David Chalmers is an atheist, and he thinks this is a good argument. Dan Dennett was an atheist, and he hated these kinds of arguments. Is Dennett being more consistent in his atheism? I read that long passage because I'm trying to convey what analytic philosophy of mind is like, and why it strikes me as so absurd that this has anything to do with atheism. Now, there are interesting arguments for theism that draw on the data of consciousness. Jeff Lauder has a Bayesian argument for theism from the mere existence of consciousness, and then there's Dustin Crummett and Brian Cutter's argument from psychophysical harmony for theism. Swinburne has an argument that appeals to the supposed complexity of psychophysical laws, which he thinks involve an extremely long list of specific connections between physical and phenomenal states, and that this ultimately points to a personal explanation rather than an impersonal one, since that long list of specific causal connections can't be derived from a simple set of underlying laws or principles. None of that is to say that atheism and materialism are synonymous, or that consistent atheists should be materialists. Say what you will about Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, Russell, Chomsky, Nagel, Chalmers, Draper, Schellenberg, and many, many others, but they are not inconsistent in their rejection of both theism and physicalism. The conflation of atheism and materialism needs to stop. These are not interchangeable concepts. And while we're at it, we can also stop conflating atheism with moral nihilism. The majority of atheist philosophers believe morality is real and objective, according to the 2020 PhilPapers survey. You can hear more about why the moral argument for God fails here.